My name is Jackie Lamport. Today is Thursday, February 10th. Welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast. Today in the show.
Essentially, what this motion would do is that it would turn back the clock and end the pedestrianization of Government Street, which is a step that I don't support.
Today, Victoria City Council will debate whether to allow shuttle buses on the pedestrian end of Government Street. We talk to business owners about their feelings and look into the impact of the pedestrian zone. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Brian Howe and Gareth Dixon from Audlin Brown Limited, one of BC's most respected investment firms since 1923. Contact Brian and Gareth at audlinbrown.com to see how they can help you achieve your financial goals. Audlin Brown Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. Every Victorian in the summertime is used to seeing them. Buses bringing cruise ship passengers into the city. The tourists come by the thousands, as many as 110,000 in the last cruise ship season of 2019. That's a boon to some and a bother to others, but a vital source of business for many shops on Government Street. But the return of the cruise ship season in Victoria also comes with something new. Government Street is closed to most traffic in a push to make it more pedestrian friendly. And that means that the buses that bring tourists in will have to change their usual drop-off spot and take a detour. Instead of dropping passengers off at Government and Fort, where they used to, the buses will take Dallas Road to Douglas, then head up Blanchard Street, before stopping at Government and Yates. This will add about 8 minutes to the route. Today, Thursday, Victoria Councillor Stephen Andrew will put forth a motion supported by Councillor Jeff Young to allow for a one-year period where shuttle buses can operate on Government Street.
And so we'll be supporting the motion when it comes to council on Thursday.
That's Jeff Bray, Executive Director of the Downtown Victoria Business Association. You'll hear more from him in a minute, but first, we'll take you down to Government Street. The changes haven't been popular with every business owner on Government. Some worry it could lead to a direct loss in revenue from less foot traffic. Podcast co-producer Martin Bauman went door to door on Government Street, speaking with business owners. Martin, who did you end up speaking to, and what was the overall message that you heard?
I'm going to disappoint you because I was not able to find Darth Vader with the violin, unfortunately, to speak with on this one. Lord Vader's schedule.
I was curious about his opinion.
I was very curious. We'll have to wait on that one. I did speak to a good number of business owners, though, and I don't know if I could really pin down a consensus. I think it's far from universal. Some business owners are worried and others not as much. I heard from the manager at Rogers Chocolates, and you used to be able to gauge when the tourists were coming because you'd see the shuttle bus driving past. That'll be different now. But in the same breath, what I heard was that they feel they're a big enough draw that they'll see customers anyway. A few other vendors were like that. Merchie is the same story. I was talking with Jessica Walker from Monroe's Books, and she says she can see both sides of the argument.
I'm kind of in the middle, literally, in terms of the stops. I think just from looking at the plans, the concerns that I have are more about the downtown generally. And also, I mean, I don't think the route is ideal for giving cruise ship passengers a kind of glimpse of the inner harbor on the way into town. I think that is a real drawback.
Did you happen to notice any trends and opinions when it came to where the businesses were located on Government? Like, did it make a difference if they were closer to the Empress and the harbor versus closer to Yates Street, say?
Yes and no. I did hear concern that cruise ship tourists have a limited window off the bus, and some business owners worried that meant they could lose those customers to Lower Johnson or Chinatown if they're a little bit closer because of Yates. But I also talked with Olivia Alcan. She's the general manager of Tractor, just inside Government in Humboldt, and she thinks the tourists will come regardless.
I believe when the tourists also, like when they come in, this is the biggest and the most known street, and then they will come walk by here anyways. I don't think they're just going to pass on Government Street because the shuttle buses are like a block away.
What were the concerns that you heard?
For one, that routing traffic along Blanchard and dropping them off at Yates isn't exactly the most picturesque way of bringing people into the city. I have to agree with them there. Some had concerns about what it would do to traffic if shuttle buses turning left on Yates or View Street, where there's no dedicated left turn lane, no advanced green, you know, if that could lead to gridlock and worsen the roads for everyone.
Rerouting also could possibly mean some good news for businesses in different locations. Businesses on Yates Street, were they happy?
Absolutely. And I spoke with multiple business owners, from Honey Bun to Adventure Clothing. Irene Derma from Special Tees told me she thinks it'll be good not just for business, but to show off a bit more of Victoria's character.
This will give them more of an opportunity to walk down the smaller streets and find more unique shops. There are many little businesses along here that can't afford Government Street.
Tourists are one thing in, I mean, clearly a big thing considering Victoria is a very touristy city. But ultimately, these changes also affect the people who live here. And Victorians are the ones who are going to be downtown in the pedestrian part of Government more often than tourists. And they're affected also by the traffic changes. What did you hear about the pedestrian zone?
From store owners, mixed reviews. The memory, I think, of pre-COVID has made it hard for them to compare foot traffic between then and now. I think it's been probably the biggest boon to restaurants with patios along Government, having that pedestrian zone. That certainly sounded to be the case from the restaurants I spoke to, including Damian Marino from The Bard and Banker.
That's fantastic. You know, when you see on the weekends, especially when the sun comes out, all the people enjoying it, walking down the middle of the roads, it's great. Yeah, it's been great for me.
Did you hear from any business owners about suggestions of what they think we should do?
A few. Damien thought that having the shuttles coming up Wharf Street and making a right on Fort could allow the buses to stop pretty much right where they did before without affecting the pedestrian zone. I think it is worth mentioning that the Bard and Banker happens to be right at Government and Fort Street, so okay. It makes sense why that would be an attractive option for him. I did hear some suggest that it wouldn't be all that bad having shuttle buses exempt from the car-free zone, that it could be a low-impact solution.
To me, that seems like it would be a better impact for tourists in terms of giving them a kind of tour of the Inner Harbor on the way in, and then also minimizing potential traffic nightmares elsewhere downtown.
Was there anything else in your conversations with all the business owners that surprised you?
Just that of the business owners who have been quoted as most staunchly opposed to proposed changes, ironically, they weren't around to talk to, and they seem to be more off-site owners in general.
Interesting. Okay. Martin, thanks so much for spending your morning going up and down the street and talking to everybody.
Happy to do it.
One person who has a lot more to say about this is Jeff Bray. He's the executive director of the Downtown Victoria Business Association. I had a chance to chat with him earlier. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jackie.
So, okay, what impact has the pedestrianization of Government Street had on businesses in the area?
Council, a couple of years ago, had wanted to actually look at making Government Street entirely pedestrian only. The businesses got together, this is almost 4 years ago now, and had identified that just wasn't going to work for any of them. And a lot of them, you know, that's where their deliveries come. There's no laneways. So the city realized that wasn't going to work. But it had identified Government Street as being pedestrian priority. When the pandemic hit and there weren't cruise ships, there weren't tourists, and the need to expand patios for restaurants, the city experimented with timed closures of Government Street between Humboldt and View and a couple of other different iterations to see what the impact would be, create more public realm, allow the businesses to move into that public space. And in many cases during the pandemic, it was extremely successful. Government Street was quite lively, even though there weren't tourists. And the patios and things added real life to it. The city also provided some pop-up, you know, concerts and some other activations. But many of the businesses that rely on, you know, cruise ship passengers and international tourism had always said, look, we support this for our neighbors because we have no customers anyways. So this might actually draw a few more people down, which is good for us. But, you know, we need those international travelers when they're allowed to come back again. So The time closures meant that Pacific Northwest Transportation, that contracts with the Harbor Authority to bring people around, could not take their traditional route down Government Street and stopping at Government and Fort. They had actually originally said we'll stop in front of the Coho Terminal. We and others had identified that that would really be impactful for the downtown economy. They worked with the city. They found an additional, a new route that does bring them in on Government Street at View, essentially on the other side of the Bay Center. But, you know, for the businesses that were down 95% over the last 2 years, any change to their being able to have some kind of season this year threatens their very vitality. And they've expressed, you know, deep concern. And so, you know, they have been engaging with the city, as have we and the chamber and others, around this issue. But we've also identified that there have been other challenges with the timed closures as well. Many of the businesses on Government Street, there is no lane. Their front door is also their back door. So that's where they get deliveries. You can't run a taxi down Government Street after you know, noon. You have a hotel, the Bedford Hotel, that has their hotel zone that's closed to their guests. So it has had other challenges as well. So I know that on Thursday, there will be a council motion from Councillor Andrews and Councillor Young asking for a one-year reprieve just to allow businesses to have a good summer, maximize the fact that we are going to have cruise visitors, and then, you know, have a look at it again next year.
Do you think that had the businesses not experienced such losses with the pandemic, that they'd be more open to experimenting with the idea of permanently changing this bus route or closing down for even deliveries?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, again, well, I think there's been some changes as well. Wharf Street, you know, to be honest, you know, has become a bit of a traffic problem itself. Quite often traffic is backed up from Humboldt all the way to the bridge. So for people who are wanting to get into downtown from, say, James Bay or South Fairfield, it's become more challenging. The other thing that we've always said at the DVBA is that we completely support priority, pedestrian priority. We think that's a great thing. But we've identified that, you know, Government Street already has the widest sidewalks in the capital region. It already is predominantly pedestrian. And, you know, there are other things like the giant hornbeam trees, which, you know, look great, but take up vast majorities of the sidewalk space, that there are other ways you could improve the pedestrian experience while still at least maintaining one lane of traffic. So again, whether it's deliveries, whether it's people trying to get to Chinatown from James Bay, cruise ship shuttles, you know, Uber Eats, you name it, can access the street because there's not really a lot of other options. Had we not had COVID, sure, I think perhaps it would have been a slightly different situation. But these businesses, like I say, that rely almost exclusively on international tourism have been down 90 and 95%. So the reality is that they cannot afford. They're down as owners. I mean, they've taken out second mortgages on their home. I mean, they are hanging on by thread, and it's like they'll lose everything. So they're not really interested in experimenting with things this year. And so we'll be supporting the motion when it comes to council on Thursday. We think that, you know, let's give everyone a break for 1 year. We still think the patios are great. We still think you can do one lane, you know, still make it pedestrian focused. But let's work to support all of the businesses, including those that are on the north side, you know, Lower Johnson, Chinatown, Market Square, that we think is enhanced by allowing vehicle traffic.
You mentioned that the businesses that are most affected and the ones that are most at risk are the ones that have really put all of their eggs in the tourism basket. Is it maybe safe to say that that's not really a great strategy going forward because we don't actually know what's going to come from the pandemic, if we're going to have more waves? Are there also other things that businesses should be looking at to make sure that they're safe next time something like this happens?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, one can always talk about, you know, diversity of products, but we are and have been a major tourism town. I mean, you could say that about hotels. I mean, we could say that about taxi businesses. We could say that about restaurants. Hey, maybe people aren't going to eat out anymore. Maybe you should. So I don't think that's fair to sort of take a business and say, hey, we had a global pandemic that happened within 3 weeks. And you know, boy, weren't you poorly planned your business strategy. I don't think that's fair at all. I think, you know, all businesses, you know, should have the opportunity to compete. You know, these businesses also pay, you know, high property taxes, among the highest rents. And so, you know, when we've surveyed our members along Government Street, with the exception of a couple of businesses, there's never been, you know, complete support for complete closure of the street. But there's been lots of other suggestions that businesses have made. And I think what businesses are feeling is we've made a bunch of suggestions on how to make Government Street better. None of them have been done. The one that the city is moving on is the one that we've said we don't want. That's a bit frustrating for them. And I know that the city recognizes the challenges that businesses have gone through and that, you know, they have to consider other things. But I think, you know, to suggest a business pick the wrong business because of a global pandemic probably isn't fair. You know, because one could say that about any number of businesses. And, you know, I think, you know, for us, they're our members and, you know, we're here to support them and advocate on their behalf.
Are there any other solutions that you would work with the city on that wouldn't be reopening the street to vehicles?
Well, I think for this year, I mean, our you know, our wish is to sort of have a reprieve for a year. I mean, we've had lots of change. There are other things that are being planned for Government Street. There's the entire Government Street refresh process, which I think has a lot of exciting ideas in it. But that's still being developed and part of the consultation. There's going to be some major construction work, water main replacement on Government Street. I mean, there's going to be lots of other sort of disruption that I think, you know, keeping one lane open, continuing to have the patios, and looking to make other pedestrian-focused improvements on short-term on Government Street would be great. But supporting the businesses after a two-year hiatus in tourism is not an unreasonable request. And certainly going forward longer term, you know, we're on the Government Street Refresh Task Force. I think there's a lot of exciting things that will be great for businesses, great for locals. I mean, we want Government Street to work for everybody. We want Government Street to work for those that work on there, for the artisans that sell their wares through the businesses. And we want Government Street to be a great place for locals. But I think we're coming out of a pandemic and the tourism sector is the one sector that's yet to have its quote unquote recovery. So maybe we can defer decisions for 1 year to support, you know, these businesses, their employees, and their suppliers to get through it and have a good cruise ship season, good tourism season. And then as we're doing these other projects, incorporate everything into seeing how we can make Government Street a great destination for both tourists and locals.
Great. Jeff, thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jackie.
And there's one more voice that we wanted to hear from, and that's somebody on City Council who has been known for promoting pedestrian zones. That's coming up next, but first, a quick word from our sponsor. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by the South Island Prosperity Partnership. If you're a South Island-based business owner, you only have until tomorrow to fill out their survey and offer your feedback on economic development initiatives to have maximum impact on issues facing our region's job creators. Share your thoughts at tinyurl.com/South Island Survey by this Friday, February 11th, and have your say. That's tinyurl.com/South Island Survey. Like I said, we wanted to hear a counselor's perspective on this, so we reached out to Jeremy Loveday. He's been involved in pushing to have Government Street closed to vehicles from as far back as 2015. Counselor Loveday, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
Do you know what the approval among Victorians is like for the pedestrianization of Government Street?
I don't have a statistical number that I can offer you, but I can share that anecdotally, as well as through feedback that city staff have received in surveys, the approval rating has been tremendous in terms of overwhelmingly
in favor of the pedestrianization of Government Street.
So would you be nervous then to go back on it and allow buses?
I've heard through city staff that our expert engineers say that you can't safely reopen this street just to buses. So essentially what this motion would do is that it would turn back the clock and end the pedestrianization of Government Street, which is a step that I don't support. I think the pedestrianization has been successful, and with the planned pop-up events that in 2021 there was more than 70, and that will happen again in 2022, there'll be a lively and safe and vibrant place for tourists and residents to enjoy in 2022, should we continue the pedestrianization.
For the businesses who have been outspoken and are worried about the potential impact that this could have on the tourist season with the cruise ships coming in, do you think there are other solutions that can guarantee tourists will come to the area?
Yeah, first I'll say I have great empathy for the business owners and employees who have struggled for the past couple of years through the pandemic, both on Lower Government Street and throughout downtown and beyond. And I can see why any change or uncertainty would cause stress. The plan, though, that has been developed by the city and the bus operator with input from the Harbor Authority and the Downtown Victoria Business Association and other stakeholders would see the bus drop off right at Government Street, 140 meters from the original drop-off zone, which this new location was chosen with Government Street businesses in mind, as well as safety and the input of local residents over the years in terms of mitigating impacts of the cruise travel in James Bay. So the location that has been chosen will be coupled with both materials and tourism ambassadors that can help usher the cruise ship tourists towards the Inner Harbor once they get off the bus. And it is just a short walk to get there, where they can enjoy the lovely Government Street on the way and all the shops that are there. So I think with the record number of cruise ships that are coming in this year, as well as the more proactive support for local businesses in terms of the communications to the visitors on the bus and as they get off their ship, I think that you'll still see a huge number of people frequenting the shops on Government Street, as well as perhaps spreading some of that support to other parts of downtown that currently have not seen the benefits of the cruise ships in past years.
This is going to be a unique year in that the pedestrianization is something that hasn't really been around for a cruise ship season. Is the city doing anything to advertise that or to try and attract more people to that area because of that?
I think the 70 plus pop-up events that happened in 2021 and that will happen again in 2022, will make sure that it's an animated and lively place. And I know that if I was getting off a cruise ship or any other, you know, way of arriving into town, I'd want to go to a pedestrianized area in one of the most beautiful corners of the city, right next to the jewel of the Inner Harbor. So I know that if I was coming in on that bus, I'd walk down Government Street and check it out. And I think that will be the case for the majority of the people who get off that bus right on Government Street, 140 meters from the previous stop.
Another concern that we heard when we were speaking to some businesses was the idea of the actual route creating some traffic because it's on an area where there's no left advance. It would be the shuttle buses turning left on Yates or View Street where there's no dedicated left turn lane. Is that something that the city has flagged?
So I haven't seen an evaluation of that myself. I do know that the engineers are in a much better place than me as an elected councillor to make that
that decision and that this is the route that the engineers, in partnership with other stakeholders, has come up with. And so I trust that this is something they have considered.
In my conversation with the Downtown Business, Victoria Business Association, they had flagged that this is something that is potentially experimental to have the buses rerouted in this tourist season after 2 years of those businesses just pulling through. Do you think that not having a one-year break is too risky?
No, I think a diversified economy is a resilient economy. And the goal needs to remain that we want Government Street to be a year-round destination for tourists and locals alike. And I think the balance that has been found with the stop just 140 meters away, as well as the activations that will bring locals down, as well as the many tourists who are looking for that local experience, we'll see Government Street full of people enjoying the beauty that is the street and frequenting the shops. And I would be open to finding other ways to work with businesses to make sure that people are coming down to that area if this proves me wrong. But I anticipate that the outcomes will see that Government Street is a place where people want to be, particularly as it's pedestrianized, because the feedback that I've received is that it's a better place to be when it's pedestrianized rather than full of cars. So I think that it will be successful, and I think the city's support for Government Street is also evidenced by the longer term plans to renew the street with fairly significant investments that is going to be undertaken in the few years to come as we also complete underground infrastructure works. And I think that investment will need to happen in coordination with the businesses, both that have been in favor of the pedestrianization and those who have been opposed, so that we can make sure that these longer term plans include everyone and work out better for everyone in the long run.
Jeremy, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
The cruise ship season officially returns to Victoria on April 6th with the first ship arriving on Ogden Point at 9 a.m. It is yet to be seen what will happen with the shuttle buses. If you want to help support Capital Daily's local journalism and connect your business with our engaged and curious Greater Victoria audience of over 50,000, you can email our partnerships team at advertising@capitaldaily.ca. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and a review and also subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes going forward. We post new shows every Monday to Friday. My name is Jackie Lamport. This is the Capital Daily Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.